Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a Bellini.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
How are we all doing?
Good,
all
right. Are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, yeah. You yourselves?
I'm fantastic,
what have you been up
yeah.
to?
Oh, well, it's Christmas shopping, isn't it?
That's what I've been doing, mate. Like no.
You look no. cold there, Mark. You got enough layers on?
I'm freezing in this pub. You're not coming to this pub again. It's freezing cold.
My toes are like ice.
It's really not that cold. It's really not that cold.
And he is literally sat in a shirt.
It's really not that cold.
I know. I've got a coat on.
A shirt and his underpants.
And a hoodie. And you've just got a shirt
on. An hoodie? You were in undies.
It's like a pair of pants with a big hood. An oversized hood.
Everybody calm down. It's a hoodie. Oh, yeah, calm down. And he's just got a shirt off.
Kirk's the type of person that wouldn't surprise me if he was sat here wearing shorts now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, flip-flops. You know. Not, yeah,
no,
yeah.
I don't own flip-flops. I can't be doing flip-flops.
No. But shorts, I can imagine it in his basketball shorts.
Yeah.
I can imagine him like
that. You just don't wear. Could you imagine? That'd be a sight for some
eyes. It would be in shorts, wouldn't it? It would be in shorts.
It would.
I tell you what, I know you're going to go into story. I tell you what, perfect job for you, Kirk, because you like to not wear many clothes, even in winter. Be a postman, because they always wear shorts.
They're always walking around in winter.
They are hardened, aren't they?
Exactly. But you'd be good at that.
But that means a lot of walking.
That don't
really fit with me.
You don't see many postmen on Segways, do you?
No. And if there's not an ice cream van at end of the street, then he ain't bothered.
Absolutely not.
I was saying,
yes.
Have you been doing much Christmas shopping?
No, I don't do Christmas shopping. I don't go to Medwall. I stopped going to Medwall about sort of beginning of October, and then I don't go back to Medwall till about end of January. It should be March.
We laugh about it, but you literally don't, do you?
No, I don't do any Christmas shopping.
It's a bit like,
but you just stand looking out your bedroom window with your, what do they call them, night hat things on that look like Christmas hats.
We're bobble at end.
A plate with a candle on it, shouting at children.
Looking like Scrooge.
Yeah.
Bah humbug!
No, I don't do any shopping.
But that's something same as you not going out past 5 o'clock or something when it's rush hour traffic. Is that you like that?
Well, yeah, because if I'm going to go shopping, go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not in rush hour traffic.
I mean, it makes sense.
I've got the luxury to do that.
It does make sense.
So you say you don't go Christmas shopping, but obviously you do buy stuff for Christmas.
No. As in presents?
Yeah.
No, what am I buying presents for? You don't get any.
Your wife?
Are you trying to get presents, Arma?
Your wife?
Well,
your son?
Hang on, slow down.
Someone's going in Christmas jail here.
Aina tends to want to buy her own thing because she don't like what I buy her. So she likes to go, right, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that. So she buys
her
own.
And then opens it up and goes, oh, look what I've got.
Exactly. And my son don't want anything because he's like me. He's like, don't bother buying me any tap for Christmas.
Yeah, but
Dad.
You know when people say that, they don't actually mean it.
Ethan means it.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does because he's like me. Because if what happens if I buy Ethan something, then he's got the same mind thought as me, going, well, my dad's bought me something. Now I've got to go out and buy him something.
Have you seen that episode of Catherine Tate show? When she does that, the gran?
The gran? No.
No?
When grandson comes round?
No.
And no.
Well, tell her then.
He can't remember.
she's bought him a present, obviously, for Christmas, and then she sat there and... So what you got me then? Nothing. Nothing? You tell me you didn't want anything. So you bought me nothing? You know how she's really lying.
Yeah.
I forget what else she says.
Well, that's a great story, that, Mark.
Yeah. Watch it on YouTube, it's really funny.
But the point is
about Gavin and Stacey.
It's just about giving, isn't it? It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be something that...
I get what you're saying, Rob, but me and you are completely different when it comes to this. It's not because I'm mean or I don't want to buy gifts and that, but I'd rather, like for Aina, for example.
I just see it as lazy, that's
it's not. It's because if I start buying stuff for Ethan, I've got to buy him something that mean like a computer game or whatever, but or something like that. But of course, he's already got the computer. It's like me, I've got there's nothing you could buy me what I haven't
this
got.
This is you that had to look all the way through the Rodrum advertiser to see if we were in it before you bought it, and then decided not to buy it because we weren't in it.
What's wrong with that?
How much is it? About 15 pence.
It was £1.50.
Was it really?
Yeah.
£1.50 for Rotherham Advertiser?
Yeah. Give over.
Yeah.
I won't buy it if I were in it.
There you go.
I'm going to throw a spanner at works.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I think we should do Secret Santa between us four this year.
Oh, that is a very good idea.
Mark's arse. Mark's arse has just fallen out.
Mark's sat in silence.
Hang on.
For the benefit of the tape.
Why have you just opened Microsoft Excel?
Go on, for the benefit of the tape.
For the benefit of the tape, I'm not taking part in this.
Give it over.
No, I'm not. Listen, getting me on. We used to do it at work when I used to work at a bank. We're doing Secret Santa. I don't want to do Secret Santa.
Mate, and Mark, then end up with some tat. It just sounds like you're making excuses.
It's not fun. I've got to go shopping. You've
got to make a bit of effort. You've got to think about someone and go, what would I get? I know. That's why I said you're lazy.
No, it's not lazy.
You're not prepared to think about someone.
You're forcing me to do something I do not want to do.
Lazy.
No.
You are lacking commitment and motivation, young man. And that's the only time I'm ever going to call you young man.
I can be committed.
Ethan is your son. You should buy him a present. Get him a present. You could make him something.
Make him something. Yeah. He's not six.
Well, I'm just saying it. You don't have to cost. It's the thought that counts. But you should give him a gift for Christmas.
Yeah. And then he'll go, Dad, what's that? That's tat. And then he'll also say, well, I feel bad now because I've not got you anything.
Then you feel bad, son, because you're not bought me anything or made me anything.
And then you start the snowball effect of, he then buys something for me. And I'm go, that's tat. And then we're in a circle of giving and taking.
For the record, I am a little bit on Mark's side with this because as you get older, especially because I've got younger children and stuff like that, you've kind of got enough to buy for... Without the cost, I would say. I don't necessarily...
Yeah, cost
as well.
It
doesn't matter to me leaving the house. But the cost the cost and the stress of buying something for somebody for just the point of buying something for them. It might be something they don't want, they don't need, and it's just added stress during an already stressful time.
It's going to be really stressful being outside.
Hold on. I get what you're saying. It's already stressful. It's stressful. It can cause stress at an already stressful time. Yes, when you're buying for three kids and your wife. But when you're Mark, who's not buying for anybody, where's this stress coming from? Don't say DJing, that's just your job. So ultimately, where's the stress coming from?
Well, no, I get it, but he's going from doing nothing to doing something. We're going from just adding one more thing to buy.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, I don't buy any of my family. I don't buy from my brothers or their wives, and they don't buy for us. And we're all good with that. None of us are sat there going, well, I really want a present from Mark, or I want a present from Gary or Danny. None of us are sat doing this standoff thing. We're all happy when we get nothing, because it's like, we don't need to then go and buy anything.
So door closes, so, Christmas Day night. Huh? So we haven't brought anything again, has it?
So we're all happy.
Tight sod.
But what we do in return is obviously we'll do other things, like, you know, not particularly presents, but we'll do other thoughtful things, you know what I mean?
Pass the parcel.
So if we all agree we're going to do a Secret Santa, you're actively not going to take part?
Yeah, but I've got to go out and buy somewhere.
Yeah.
You can order it online.
And then whatever you get me somewhere.
It'll be a secret to everybody then.
It'll be a bloody Rubik's Cube or somewhere. I'll be like, well, I've got three of them. It loft or something. It's something stupid.
Well, yeah, it might be, but it's just the excitement.
It's meant to be a laugh.
Yeah, it's just a laugh. It's a bit of fun.
Fine. Let's do it at Easter time when it's not as busy. What have you got?
Maltesers.
Nowadays,
like a bunny.
Yeah.
The worst thing is you don't even have to go anywhere these days because you can just order it online.
But what do I order?
Mate, I can't tell you what to order. That's the whole point of Secret Santa.
We'll do Secret Santa, but you know what, Rob? You're buying two.
I've got to tell Mark what he's ordering.
Then I've got to wrap the bloody thing up.
Yeah.
When do I fit that in my busy schedule?
I've got to fit that around working.
I've got to fit wrapping up presents.
A present?
One. No.
Well, I'm still going to buy for what, all of you?
No. Secret Santa is...
Oh, no, it's when you pick a name out, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it's not much fun for four people, is it? I mean, it's not...
I'd have liked to have seen the stress for you printing these mugs, Mark.
Oh, no, that were different. That's part of the...
Honestly, I just see it that you're just being lazy in that you don't want to make any effort.
Why?
At all.
Why do I need to make an effort? Do we buy a present?
Why do I need to make an effort buying
some Christmas socks, giving them to Ethan, he'll go, yeah, right. great then, Dad.
Let me ask you another question. Aina says to you this year, Mark, I've changed my mind. I want us to buy Christmas presents this year.
Yeah, she says this every year. She changes them. She flip-flops.
Oh, she does say it. She
and then Mark talks her out. You can buy me something if you want, but I'm not getting you anything.
No, she flip-flops all the time. Like in October, she'll say...
Flip-flops in this weather?
She'll say, don't buy me anything this year. I don't want anything. Then November, I've changed my mind. I want this. And then 2 weeks later, no, save us money. We'll not. I'm all over. She wants so much. She doesn't want so much. She wants so much. She don't want so much. So
it definitely sounds like you're talking her out of it.
And then when she says, actually, I want this, your answer is, good, go and buy it yourself.
No, but whatever I buy, in the past, when I bought her stuff, she's gone, yeah. That's not right, I don't want this, that's not right. So it's easier for her to buy what she wants.
Because there's things called wish lists now as well, that they can make a wish list. A wish list.
Oh, don't tell Aina that. <She'll> be
so they make a wish list.
A million items on it.
And then you can pick from that list what you want to get her, so it's still a surprise for her what she's going to get.
Great, but this wish list would not be under a fiver, would it? We're talking expensive, so I'm going to be going through going, hang on, that's too expensive.
What if it was 50 quid?
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah, but there's been nothing on it.
So just set a boundary. Pick items that are this price. I don't think I'm going to get over the fact that you just can't buy Aina a little something or Ethan a little something.
I do, but not at Christmas time. I buy things at other times. Right. And I'm also more about experiences as opposed to presents.
Yeah. I know we talked about that in last year's episode. Yeah. And I get it. That's what I do.
I mean, I bought us two train tickets and she goes like, oh, not again.
She'd love that.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're saying about it. I mean, listen, I understand it's about giving and receiving presents. I get all that. But it's just not, it don't work for me. It's not.
Don't get me wrong. You know, people listen to this going, Rob, what are you on about? Shut up. He didn't have to buy anything. I get that. It's just the thought of just making that a little bit of effort at Christmas time.
It would not matter to me if I didn't receive one gift at Christmas.
And me too. I'm fine with that. I'm good. I'd rather not.
As long as you're surrounded by
you'd be very awkward. It'd be very awkward with four of us and one of us is not going to see for Santa.
We know that. Who Mark's got there, don't we?
Surprise.
I prefer giving. So I prefer giving. I just prefer buying presents for other people. And I when I buy presents for other people, I certainly don't do it because they're buying me something.
No.
Yeah. You know, I buy for them, and that's my pleasure, that's my joy. When I'm sat there on Christmas Day morning or whenever it is, and the kids might open the presents or whatever, they might have said to me, oh, Dad, open your present. I'm like, no, it's okay. I want to see you open your... I almost find it a little bit awkward, not in front of the kids, but if I'm sat at my mum's or sat, you know, family or whatever
I feel a bit awkward. How do you react and what?
Well,
you know?
Listen, if you don't want to feel awkward, just do what I do, because I never feel awkward because I'm not opening anything and
honestly,
I'm not giving anything.
Somebody brings you some presents, you go, I'm not having them. I don't want them. You can take them back.
I could get 50 presents and I wouldn't feel awkward. So,
well, you like a present.
Give me all your presents. I won't feel awkward at all.
I bet you do a song and dance before you open each one.
Oh,
don't
mate,
you?
I love it. But as you said, and I pointed this out last year, that I also take great pleasure in watching other people open my presents because I do put a lot of thought into what I buy people. So I'm excited because I know I've put a lot of thought into it. The heartache is when someone opens a present and goes, oh, lovely. And you start there thinking, I put loads of time and thought into that. Yeah. And you just put it aside like it was just a no.
See what
idea.
You're saying about presents and stuff. I understand what you're saying, but I tend to do that all the time. It's like flowers and chocolates, or whatever. I do that for Aina, but not generally. I know this sounds a bit mean, but not generally around Valentine's, not around a birthday, not around Christmas, but completely random. That way, in my world, it comes across more heartfelt and I've thought about, because I've not like, oh, it's Valentine's, buy some presents.
That's more me because to me it's
more thoughtful. If somebody buys me a random gift saying, oh, I'm thinking about you today, here's a present,
that means more to me than
Christmas.
Aren't you a good husband, Mark? Aren't you a good husband?
The fact
husband?
That you do that.
I know Aina's probably going, well, I can't remember last time he bought me flowers.
We're going to get an email in.
I'll have to buy her some tomorrow before this episode goes.
That does counteract a little bit of the Christmas thing.
That's what I tend to do.
Yeah, that does counteract.
And of course, I know you said it earlier, and I am extremely busy at Christmas. I'm going 100 miles an hour, and rest of the year, I'm only going 2 miles an hour. So it's, you know, that's another reason. So there you go.
I'll let you off.
Yeah, thank you.
But for you, Kirk, you've got also It's your anniversary, isn't it? Coming up soon.
Oh, wedding anniversary, yeah, in between Christmas and New Year.
Yes. So you've also
is
got
that 7 years?
Present.
I'm putting him on the spot now.
Eight years. So 2016, yeah. I got married.
All right, eight years then.
Yeah, 8 years.
What's that?
Eight years. I don't know what it is.
Oh, what the thing is.
Oh, is it? Oh,
the thing. The thing that you don't want to buy, Mark.
Yeah, it's not wood. That's first year, isn't it? Is it?
No idea.
Silver. Oh, no, it's not.
In all fairness, me and Daisy tend to not buy each other anything for anniversaries.
Rob will have a go at you.
No, I'm not surprised.
Bronze and or pottery.
Oh, is it?
Oh, nice.
Is that the modern one or the old-fashioned one?
Yeah,
or?
The traditional, yeah. Yeah, it tends to be mainly because our anniversary falls. We got obviously married between Christmas and New Year, so 29th of December. So
my busy time. Don't worry about. Didn't you think about me? Did you? We're on with discos and stuff. No, don't worry about.
And how many discos do you have between Christmas and New Year? None.
Back then,
between Christmas and New Year.
Back then, loads.
Give over.
Hello.
Give over.
Hello. I had loads.
Hello.
No, I did. I used to have loads back then.
Between Christmas and New Year.
Yes.
What, Boxing Day.
No, that's not Christmas. That's not between Christmas and New Year, is it? Boxing Day.
I think you'll find it's technically between Christmas and New Year.
I mean, it's not. Anyway,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, let's not split hairs. Mark's got a few enough already.
I think that's mainly why we don't buy each other stuff, because we've got three kids to buy for Christmas and stuff like that. So it's already an expensive time of year.
Are you doing anything nice for your anniversary?
Nothing planned as of yet. We might go out for something to eat or whatever. We don't ignore it, you know. We know it's our anniversary, and you know, but we up to now we haven't really bought anything each other for anniversaries. But
Rob's twitching.
His and hers pottery class.
Something just popped into my head that I thought I need to ask Mark.
Me?
Yeah. Given the fact that you know the thought that you've put into your presents and whatnot, how did, and based on anniversary,
yes,
how did you propose to Aina?
How long have you been married?
There's loads of questions here. Can you write them all down, please?
How long have you been married?
That's a good question. When do I get married, first of all?
During COVID.
During lockdown. So 2020.
Four years.
So 4 years, yes. We've been married. So how did I propose to her?
Yeah.
The original plan was I'm going to propose to her at Disney World.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh,
yes.
Of course, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That
and
the
you had
plan.
A massive argument. Oh, no, not that one.
Only joking.
That was the plan. Because I was going to sort of get rope you guys in, because you guys were coming. But you weren't, Mark, because you're not at Disney. But
no, I don't get invited to anything.
No. Well, you won't want to come to Disney, would you?
No.
No. Would you? No.
Yeah. Right.
So the plan, I was going to rope you guys in. I was going to do all this. I got sort of thinking about what to do, and I thought, oh, it'd be really good. I mean, I know it's cheesy doing it in front of castle, whatever. But then, of course, COVID hit. So that went by the wayside. But hey,
you right, Mickey Mouse of it.
No, we went to Disney before COVID.
Yeah.
You was going to propose to Aina in 2018 when we went to Disney.
Because you asked me.
But something happened. Something happened as to the reason
why
you didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Yes.
You asked me if I'd dress up as a Disney princess and bring your ring. And I said, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, did you? What happened then? I can't remember myself.
She burnt your toast.
No. seriously, though, I can't remember what happened. Why did...
I don't know.
I can't remember either, but I do remember it being put on your plan that you were
going to
do.
Yeah, it weren't COVID, because I'm thinking of the...
World War II?
I'm thinking about the wedding.
The actual wedding.
That's it. I'm getting confused.
Falklands.
The plague.
I remembered. Yeah. So that's what I was going to do. I was going to propose...
We can see this all played out on the Bayeux Tapestry.
I was going to do that for Disney, but Aina were getting... And she's like, well, when were you proposing all this lot and stuff? Because she wanted me to propose. She was getting impatient, shall we say. That's probably the word. And I thought, hang on a minute here, I can't...
I've only knelt down to tie my shoelace.
I can't... She was getting impatient, being sort of beginning of the year, and we were going... When did we go?
October.
October. And I thought she's not gonna last out here type thing.
She's not gonna last out here. Bike's packed.
Is she not very well?
She's not very well.
You don't buy me anything for Christmas. You don't get me anything.
She's not very well, there's not buying her flowers.
Not proposing, I'm off.
Well, I don't mean
right,
that.
So you needed to trap her, yeah?
No, I meant, I said she was getting, what's the word I'm thinking of? She was getting impatient, yeah, that's the best word. And she's like, well, what are you doing? And all this, like, and then back in my head, obviously, I got this big plan.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell her because it was going to be a surprise. So I thought, well, you know what, I need to sort of do something else here. So I got a, I mean, this it's all going to fall flat on its face here. But we got an holiday booked to Benidorm? Yeah, Benidorm. And I thought, she's...
Is it Disney Castle in Benidorm?
I wish there were. It would have made it easier for me. And so I just ended up proposing to her in Benidorm. So it were completely not what I wanted
to do. Set the scene then. What did you do?
I just said, do you want to get married?
Yeah, but where were you?
Did you get down on one knee?
In Benidorm.
Whereabouts in Benidorm? Were you at a pub? Were you on the beach?
They were just getting some chips for all inclusive.
What do you reckon then? Should we get married?
We were just waiting for his bags at airport. Listen, it's not very romantic. That's the point.
Listen, when it comes around to me, right, I'm going to be the most unromantic person around this table, so don't worry about that.
So we're in Benidorm. I'd gone with my brother Gary and his wife Donna, and they didn't know, and I took the ring. I took the ring with me. So I thought, well, I'll propose to her, and I just thought she got ready. She'd gone down to the hotel bar, and we were sat outside. And I thought, well, I'll just propose to her now. Because again...
I'll get it out of the way.
Again, it was almost like... Because she were getting so impatient about getting engaged, I know it sounds weird, but it were like the longer I put it off, the more she were getting impatient with it. Yeah. So the best way to... To get it out of the way is to propose to her, because that would make her happy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It were more about her being proposed to that, as opposed to the setting. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Although I wanted it to be the setting better than...
Yeah.
And that's because that's how Aina's world works.
So you were sat outside a bar with two Star Wars characters that ride on a Segway thing having sex, and you got down on one knee.
What?
Yeah?
What?
Oh, you've not seen that
Have
bar?
You nodded off?
I know what you're talking about.
I've nodded off.
Yeah. Have you been to Benidorm?
Yes, once.
So you mean with Sticky Vicky?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the bar, I don't know what bar it's called, but it's on a corner.
I went to see Sticky Vicky.
Yeah, well, in the same bar,
does it now, you know?
Sexy Barbara.
There's Darth Vader and Leia. And they're on them Segway things, them electric things, and they come out naked and come together, and he manages to get his penis inside her, going backwards and forwards.
I've been giving her a round of applause for standing on it.
I know.
The Segway. I mean, trying to stay upright on one of them things.
I just need to interject here, because I don't want listeners to thinking, what did he propose while they were having sex on a Segway?
That's all I've got visions of.
I know, but that wasn't happening. That is a thing, but that's not in my proposal
world.
You
forgot your places. Aina, I am not your father.
that weren't happening when I was proposing.
All right, good.
So it were outside the hotel bar,
not
basically.
Really,
it wasn't even a bar, it was just the hotel bar. And my brother was sat there with his wife at the table, and Aina was sat there, and I came down and I just proposed to her.
Down from the room, or you got down on one knee?
No, both.
Right.
So I went down on one knee and gave her the ring, and she were. And my brother were like, what's happening here?
Did she say yes?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'm married to her. No, so
there's a reason why I've asked that question. Don't worry, I'll come to it. I'll come to it. I just wondered whether she actually said yes.
Well, I think she did.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. It's not a loaded question for you. Don't worry.
Is it a you thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's how I proposed to her. So it weren't very exciting. It weren't very romantic. But in Aina's world, she were happy because.
Yeah,
she got a ring.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
And that's what it's
not
about.
Not necessarily about the setting.
So
like
the plan that I wanted, Disney, we'll talk about it, about my wedding. So it went from that to that, as in, benefit of taking my hands in, the other ones lower down. So it went from high to low, which is a bit like my wedding thing. So that's mine. So what about you guys then, if we're talking about proposals?
Oh, well, mine's not even as... Yeah, I mean, mine's pretty poor. It really is.
Is yours going to make mine look good, then?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, it is. So, literally, I went out and bought the ring, got the ring. But the thing is with me is I can't like, keep anything a surprise. I really struggle to keep anything like a surprise or... I just do. I can hold a secret. If someone says to me this and don't tell anyone, then fine. But for myself...
Did you ring her the minute you bought it?
Do you know what? You laugh, but that's almost like what the feeling is. I like bought it, and then I'm like, that's what I want to do. I instantly want to share it.
Yeah.
But I did keep it under wraps for a couple of days or whatever, but I was...
A couple of days.
It worked. But then what... Because I was trying to think of a romantic way of doing it. Mm-hmm. When could I do it? And I was trying to think of how to do it. And... I was flying out on a business, like with work, to Athens. Daisy were a bit down in dumps because obviously our A, you know, going away for a few days, and you know B, you know, I'm going off and almost having an experience without her. Not my fault. Just putting that out there. It's work, you know, and it was work. I'll tell you the story another day about the Athens trip because that is interesting. But
does that get you a divorce?
No, anyway, that is really a different story. It's a good one, though. It is a good story. She was feeling a bit down in dumps and everything, and I thought, oh, well, maybe this could cheer up. So I just said to her, we're literally on settee at home, and I said, oh, I've got a present for you. And she was like, oh, all right, okay. And I'm like, right, I need to go and get it because it went car. So I went to the car, got it, and you know when you kind of you realise at this moment that you've messed it up. Do you get what I mean? like you realise that this is just not the moment.
What do you mean? The so door what, shut what, behind you and it's locked you out and you're only in your pants.
Why were you thinking that it was the moment then?
Well, just
because you were excited.
I think I wanted. The thing is it's almost as I was trying to find a reason, an excuse to give it. Does that make sense?
She would have settled for a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're down, you will be in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Matron. So I went to the car, come out, and I stuck my head around the door, and I'm just like, close your eyes. So she closed her eyes. So literally, she just sat on settee at home, and I just walked in, and I knelt down in front of her, and obviously I opened ring box, and I says, right, open your eyes. And she opened her eyes, and obviously I said, will you marry me? And her answer was, cough.
Really?
to this day, I still wind her up because to this day she still never said yes.
Really?
She never actually said yes. I mean, don't get me wrong.
By all accounts, she never said I do on your wedding day.
We're not legally married. But yeah, she was very happy, and you know, she got a bit teary and stuff, and. You know, so it was nice after that.
Because yeah, she'd already got a Sky Glass and she forgot that she couldn't port TV.
Yeah. Yeah. But as a proposal story, it wasn't very good. I mean, you know, it gave me something to tell the stripper about in Athens.
Is this a story that you weren't going to tell?
I'm not telling you the full story, but yeah, it was. It was a story to tell while I was in Athens, but I've just got engaged.
Well, listen, it's given you something to talk about. It is a story that you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You laugh about it now.
And
can't
it can stay
you?
On the internet for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah. Come on then, Rob. Put us all to shame.
Oh, I don't even know where to start with this.
Well, I know, because it's such a big story. There's so much
story. The pre-production and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you're planning
stage. Do you want to know it from Gemma's perspective or from my perspective?
What, Gemma's.
Oh,
it's only you could have two perspectives.
Okay.
Well, yeah, a script and everything.
Yeah, but I actually think that if you tell the story first from Gemma's perspective, I think that's what would tell the story.
Okay. So we were going to the Cairngorm Mountains for a weekend. No, probably, I think it was like 4 days.
It's cold up there this time of year.
Yeah, and
it's
it was,
lovely though,
and it was this time of year. Mm-hmm. I think it was September. And so it was all planned. Off we went up to the Cairngorms, and we were staying in a lovely little hotel, and it was really close, quite close to a lock called Loch Morley, was what it was. And it was right at the bottom of, I can't remember the exact mountain or place, but you can obviously go skiing and snowboarding at that time of year. So we went, and And literally, as we were driving up, there was no snow in the UK. And in Scotland, there was, certainly up in the Highlands, there was snow, but not an awful lot. The day we set off, the heavens opened, and it absolutely came down to the point where my uncle in Scotland, I was ringing him, and he was like, Rob, I don't know what time you're setting off, but you need to be out there sharpish because it's coming down really bad. And he's in Glasgow, so it's quite a few miles beyond them where we're going, and a lot higher. So we set off. And we did hit bad snow. By the time we got there, I had an Astra van at the time, trying to get up these hills. Honestly, the van was all over the place trying to get there.
Yeah, they're built for Scottish mountains, box all Astra vans, aren't they? Yeah.
Gemma was petrified. She was thinking we're not going to
make Mountain it. Rescue rocking up in one of them.
What year were this, Rob, then? What are we talking?
7, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
I think it's 9 years ago. And so... Anyway, and it was a struggle getting there, but we got there and the hotel was lovely. So 2 days in, we went for a walk round Loch Morley, and it was such a beautiful landscape. In fact, it was all covered in snow, and it was a lovely walk around the lake. We walked all the way around the lake, and it's actually a beach, believe it or not. I don't know if it's man-made, but there's sand in the summer and people do go there and treat it like a bit of a beach with a lake. Obviously it was all snowed over, and so I just thought that was the most beautiful setting to do it, so that's what I did. Got down on one knee, asked her to marry me, and she said yes.
Got an answer.
She said yes, and that was it in general. But now do you want my version of the event? Yes. So
strap in.
I can't remember how long ago it was before, but obviously I'd got the ring.
So we're talking 4 years before you proposed to her. You're planning it.
No,
and you got a script.
I think
and
it was quite a long time before when I designed the ring, but it was I think it was about 9 months before I designed a ring that I wanted, and I went and found a guy who makes rings, did that, sorted that. And then...
I mean, already that blows our stories out. You're just talking about the ring.
Yeah. So then I knew we wanted to go to the Cairngorms, so I thought, that's the time to do it. So I was like, right, obviously we're going to walk around this loch and then we're going to be on the beach. And I was like, well, this is going to be... I'm not going to be able to get a phone or have any pictures of this, and I really want an element of this. I can't video it. I'm not going to be able to, you know. So I thought, I know, I'll hire a videographer. A photographer to follow us round. So I went online and I found someone that lived locally to that area that was a photographer. There was a few in there. I picked the best one that I thought was good. And basically I had communications with this guy and said, right, we're going to come in on this day at this time. We will start at the car park. We'll park there and we'll walk around the lock. And he was like, yep, I'll follow you around the lock.
Did you interview this photographer? Did you sit him down and ask him loads of questions?
Really. Three-stage interview.
I interviewed him by looking at his images and we're like, they're nice.
CRB check.
Yeah. So we'd set it. We arrived. He would follow us around the lock. And then when we got to the end...
Obviously, Gemma doesn't know that this guy's...
Oh, no, she knows nothing about this.
Doesn't know.
She knows nothing.
But you knew this guy is going, oh, Dave's over, whatever his name, oh, Dave's following us.
You could see him, okay. But I'd never met him, didn't know him, although we'd spoke a few times. Okay. I explained, I'd sent him a picture of what both me and Gemma looked like, so he even knew what we looked like, because he doesn't know us at all.
It's a bit stalkerish, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So we get there.
And he's paying for experience.
I know.
We get there, and obviously this photographer's there, and he'd brought a female friend along with him to make it look like they were just a couple taking pictures. And he was stood pretty much in the car park. I remember him taking pictures of the lake. And then we started walking, and he just started following us. And he kept a decent distance. He was taking pictures. Then all of a sudden, they started walking quite a bit faster, and he got in front of us. And we were walking towards him at one point, and he was literally taking pictures of us through trees. I spotted him. And then there's a photo that's taken with me. I spotted him. Absolutely beaming down his camera lens, full on smile. Gemma's just walking along, not knowing what's going on. And so we walked all the way around the lock and then got to the end, and then he positioned himself somewhere behind us and snapped all the shots of me getting down on one knee and doing that. And so all was great, but I didn't say anything at this point. I said nothing.
Not even afterwards?
Not even after, no. And then waited till Christmas Day. And prior to Christmas Day, I had one of the image where I got down on one knee. I had that printed off in it's not quite a meter, but it's a decent sized picture. not far off a metre, let's say, and had it printed off, put in a professional frame and everything, and wrapped it up for Christmas Day. And then on Christmas Day, when we were with all the family, she opened this present, which was me down on one knee. So obviously, in her head, we had no photos, no recollection of that happening.
Did you know, obviously, when you proposed to her, she said, yeah, did she at any point say to you, oh, Robbie, it would have been lovely if we had some photos? Would that a conversation?
I think she did mention at one point and go, it's just a shame we never really got a picture, did we? We never even took a picture when we were there. We just took a picture of a hand. Probably a few hours later.
Your best acting job.
I should have thought about that. You'd think I would, knowing what I do. And so, on Christmas Day, she opened this ominous... Yeah. Big large parcel up, and it was a picture of me down on one knee. So she obviously had no idea about it.
It's a great picture. Yeah.
And did she, I mean, obviously lovely, but did she then not say to you, where's that come from?
Obviously
you would have explained to her, but did
she? There were a lot of questions, And obviously when you then go through all the other photos and images, she's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I do remember seeing him and thinking, it's a bit strange, he almost looks like he's taking pictures of us. So she started to recollect.
You were made for me.
So this photographer, he weren't as good as you thought, because he was obviously sticking out like a sore thumb.
But she hadn't questioned it up to that point.
Right.
So yeah, that's
when
it.
Sometimes when somebody tells you something, then you look back on you go, oh, yeah, all right, that makes, you know what I mean? Yeah. You put the pieces together, don't you,
Based on what you were saying, it was very difficult, having done all that, to not say, because especially I'd got the photos within a week of it happening, and I'd sat on these pictures looking at them. And obviously, went through them all, edited the best ones. I think I even made her a calendar. one of her Christmas presents with a calendar with 12...
Yeah, he got his money's worth out of them pictures.
I did.
£400. One thing for certain, proposals aren't coming anywhere close to that, are they?
No.
So the gap between this was, you said you went in September and then it was December when you.
Yeah.
So that was the gap. Good job Kurt didn't do it, because he would have gone like, well, next day. Oh, look, I've seen these photos.
Absolutely. But I think that what you did.
Yeah, that would,
I think. A was a genius idea for starters, and B, that definitely up there with maximum effort. I remember you telling me about it, and I remember thinking at the time, putting everyone to shame here, Rob. Putting everyone to shame. But I thought it was great what you did, and the picture that you've got is fantastic. And like, you know, there's not that many people that would have a picture like that in that kind of setting. That's so genuine.
Absolutely.
It's so genuine.
Yeah. And so bloody remote as well.
And the fact that it was snowy, it'd been snowing. Yeah. And you couldn't write that.
No.
And of course, they were candid photos. They were, you know, because wedding photos, for example, a lot of the time, it's like, you know, say cheese and everybody stood there smiling. But of course, those, I knew you knew the photographer there, but Gemma didn't. So they weren't sort of set up. They were just genuine sort of, moments of.
I think there was even a moment, and I think there is a photograph of it, when I hugged Gemma afterwards.
And you winked to the camera.
When my arms were around her and around the back, I put the thumbs up. And there's a picture of him with the thumbs up. I'm sure there is one of that.
Give him your approval.
Yeah.
And then the photographer followed him back to the bedroom. That's a different calendar.
Absolutely. So, Mark, what about you?
It weren't like yours.
I'm glad you're following Rob.
Yeah. I made an effort for me, because I'm not, I don't know if I'm overly romantic or not, but anyway. So I booked for us to go for a meal at Whitley Hall.
So how many years ago are we talking here, Mark, this one?
This is 2005, I think it is. So 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And it went run up to Christmas, and I'd made it out as we were just going out for a Christmas meal, pre-Christmas meal. So I'd arranged for babysitters just babysitter actually, we'd only got Leonie at the time. So nobody knew that I were going to propose. So all the family didn't know. And so I bought the ring, and to try and, you know, not give away where it was, so I tucked it inside my sock, in the box, on the inside of my leg, so she couldn't see it in my pocket or anything like that. So my dad dropped us off, because it's down a country lane, Whitley Hall Hotel, and we're having a few drinks and whatever, and enjoying it. It was lovely, Christmas music, and, you know, it's a nice, I don't know if you've ever been, it's a nice little hotel. They do weddings and things. So we're sat with something to eat and drink, and then I thought there were a break between, I think it was between main and dessert, and I thought, right, this is the moment.
This is it.
This is it.
So you got you brought your photographer out that you paid for.
No, yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
No. Sadly, I've not got the resource or the imagination that Rob's got. And so I thought, right, here we go. So then I sort of slipped off the chair and then down onto one knee in the smoothest motion as I could possibly do. And at the same time, pulling the ring box out of my sock. So I literally pulled the ring box up in front of Ellen's face.
I feel something's going to happen here.
Boxes backwards.
So, yeah.
No. So Ellen instantly bursts out crying. And I was like, wow. And I opened ring box and she's just absolutely in floods of tears. And I'm like, wow. Obviously I said tomorrow, she was just in floods of tears. And then I looked at ring box and there were no ring in it.
I think you realise why she was crying, because there's no ring.
So like, what's going off here then? That's what all this time I'm planning it and everything. Anyway, and as I'd done it, obviously in a nervous way, I'd rushed and sort of flicked the box open, and I flicked the ring out of the box. So Ellen's in floods of tears. I'm on my hands and knees crawling down under everybody else's table.
Look at the ring.
This people in the house, mate. And then waiter comes over. He goes, "You're right there, sir." I says, "No, sorry, I've lost the ring." He gets on his hands and knees and he starts screaming down and
I can just see Mark running under the tables. Has anyone seen me wash ring?
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
So she said, yeah, and we found the ring.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it went flow underneath somebody else.
I presume she were in floods of tears because she saw the ring box. Not because the ring was missing. Yeah. Right, okay, right.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's a good story. I like that.
I know, it's great stories. What a bloody waste of time, eh? Anyway.
I'm only joking. I have got a bit of a story, actually, about an older couple.
Oh, okay.
And about the longevity of marriage.
Oh, yeah.
They were lying in bed one night. Husband were falling asleep. And wife says to him, "You used to hold my hand when we were courting."
Courting, anyway, that's a word you don't hear.
I know, you don't hear it very often, do you? Anyway, and we were a bit tired and that, and we were like, oh, all right. So he reached out and he grabbed her hand. Anyway, a few moments later, she says, "Then you used to kiss me." So a little bit like, oh. So he reaches over and he gives her a peck on the cheek. And then he's like, right, okay. So then he rolls back over and he goes to try and go to sleep again. And she goes, "Then you used to bite my neck." Then anyway, he jumps up out of bed, he throws covers off and he storms off out of bedroom. She goes, "Where are you going?" He says, "To get me teeth."
Old ones at best.
While we're talking about this, all of our weddings were very different, weren't they?
Very different to each other.
Yes.
I mean, Mark, do you want to tell us about yours, Mark? Because we weren't there.
Well, I know. Listen, I know. Again, I'm going to say for the benefit of the tape, it wasn't because you weren't invited. Technically, you weren't invited, but it's because it was COVID. That's why. Yeah. So again, the plan. This going back to my original story.
I'm not putting any food on for them.
Well, it did save me some money. So the original plan was the plan was to go to Las Vegas and get married in Las Vegas. That was the plan.
Yeah.
So the plan was to go Las Vegas, a couple of days, get married.
And go to LA.
Not get married by Elvis, by the way, but go on to LA. Go to Disneyland, Universal Studios, whatever, and then go on a cruise down the
San Francisco
East Coast.
Yeah, the coast. I can't remember which one it is.
No, West Coast. It's the West Coast. Go down there, San Francisco. Go and see Golden Gate Bridge, wherever
Francisco.
That is.
Francisco.
that was the plan, but COVID hit.
It wasn't just the plan.
Yeah,
it was booked.
It was booked.
Well, it was booked because you guys were coming. You weren't coming, Mark, again, were you?
No.
I mean, I don't know why. Why did you never come on stuff here?
Yeah.
I did invite you, though, didn't I?
Probably not.
I think it was before the chatting days, weren't it?
I was well looking forward to your wedding.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I mean,
for Vegas, I'm going to be honest. I've always wanted to go to Vegas, yeah, and we were going to Vegas.
And my wedding were just a bit of it, you know,
while
just
we were there.
While we were there. I mean, listen, I, to be fair, I don't. I know I'm talking about it now, but I really generally don't like talking about it because it makes me really sad when I talk about it. Yeah. And I mean really sad because Aina had got some of her family coming across to meet us in Las Vegas. My nephew, who lives in New Zealand, he was going to come across. Because we were in America, at the time, and my two brothers were coming, so obviously they would have met up with Jason as well. My son Ethan were going, so you guys were coming.
So it would be first time Ethan had ever been on a cruise, I think, would it have been?
It would have been his first time on a cruise, obviously Las Vegas. So, you know, the combination, and my brother, obviously my brother is ill at the minute, so I don't, you know, it would have been good for him to go to Las Vegas, you know what I mean? Mm. I mean, I'm sure he'll have a chance to go, but, you know, that moment for all the family to be together, and it's just gone. It's not something you can go, oh, we'll do it at, doing a couple of years' time, you can't.
And it were literally just weeks before as well, weren't it?
It was weeks before.
When it all got cancelled.
Yeah, and it's... So it does make me sad, but that was the plan. So that didn't happen. So again, going back to Aina, what do we do? Because again, we're like, well, how long is this lockdown? What's going to happen? None of us knew what were going to happen. And again, Aina she was a little bit impatient. She still wanted to get...
Itchy feet again.
I know. Aina's one of these people that if she wants to do something, she wants to do it. You know what I mean? I can be a bit like that if on things, but I'm a little bit more sensible, I'll hang on a minute, that's not the right thing to do type thing. So she wants to get married regardless. I'm like, well, yeah, but can't we... why don't we do this? Why don't we wait? But again, we were like, well, how long do we wait for? 6 months, a year? How long... We don't know. It's the unknown. Mm. So, right, okay, we'll get married. So we ended up not getting married in Las Vegas, but...
we'll get married.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's not what we wanted to do, because we got... The original plan was we were going to have a party back here for those that didn't go to Las Vegas, you know, in Doncaster. And we'd even booked all... We booked all that as well. You know, and what we'd got booked, because we'd got a restaurant
booked. Did I get an invite to that?
Yeah, you got an invite to that. Didn't
I think you did. I think you did. Actually. Joking aside, I think you genuinely did.
We got, because trying to get all the money back as well with a nightmare, because I'd booked Disney, Universal tickets. We'd booked a restaurant for you guys as a surprise for a meal. We had to cancel all that, get all that back. Of course, so it's cruise money like you guys, your holiday. So we ended up not getting married in Las Vegas, but ended up getting married in Doncaster Registry Office, which is, again, I'm going to have my hand up in air here and my hand lower here for benefit of completely chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were only allowed 10 people. And that included me and Aina and
the registrar
and the photographer.
Right.
So we were, you know...
Six guests.
You know, we were very, very limited.
Couldn't you have had the photographer ordained?
Oh. What to take up?
That would have been the one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the one.
We could invite you then, Mark.
Rob would have done that.
I could have come as photographer.
Rob would have done that. He'd have got the photographer ordained, so they'd have been taking photos and doing the.
That's an idea.
Yeah, it's a bit late now.
I'm going to say it's a bit late.
You can have that one.
So we couldn't invite lots. I couldn't invite my extended family. I couldn't invite you guys.
No.
And that again, that made me sad. I know that sounds a bit weird. Me getting married made me sad, but you know what I mean. It's not how I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But again, what was important for me is that Aina wants to get married.
I still think we've got room for a stag do, though.
Absolutely, we have.
I mean, that could be Vegas.
Yes.
Well, I think Ethan started organising it. Oh, you, Kirk, sorry. Were you that started a stag party for me?
It was more of a discussion of talking about it, while we was in Vegas, we was going to do something in Vegas.
But we definitely should do something.
Yeah, we
before
should.
Before it looks like the set off cocoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we ended up doing. And
well, at least you're married.
Yeah, we're married, which is what Aina wanted. So it's not.
You put a ring on it.
Yeah, I put a ring on it.
We're married. That's at least what Aina wanted.
Yeah. At least I know that.
Well, I know. You've got away with words, you, Mark.
I know that didn't come out right.
Here lies Mark Lane.
I wanted to get married, but just not that.
Not as much as Aina.
Not in that sort of kind of way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'll go and get you a shovel. Keep
digging. Yeah, I know. Time at the bar, please.
guys.
Your wedding seems like years ago.
It was years ago. That's
like
why.
Years and years and years.
Yeah,
years
17
ago.
Years ago. Yeah.
17 years.
Where did you get married?
We got married at Thorpe Esley Church.
Yeah.
And then we had all the other stuff, as you would like, the breakfast and the after night, the night thing that they call the night do, as they call it, the night do, at Rockingham, up at Wentworth.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. That it.
Yeah. I don't know why. Well, I feel like we've already talked about this. Because I feel like I've spoke about the cruise before. I feel like I've already mentioned the cruise.
Well, we've talked about cruises before, but I don't think we talked about yours.
I'm happy to elaborate on it again, but we got married on a cruise ship, as you, three of you,
three of you.
Mark, when you were 85.
Well, you don't get out much, dear. You don't come.
No. I mean, both of you missed a trick there, because both of you could have said that you weren't invited to Mark's wedding. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, absolutely, we weren't.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point. But so you guys came, didn't you? And we got married on the Celebrity Eclipse cruise ship. Lots of family. I think was it 28 of us?
I thought it was 22. I could be wrong, but I thought it was 22.
I might have elaborated. Not like me, is it?
Yeah, 24. I know.
Well, didn't you think everybody on the ship were there just for your wedding? Is that what you thought?
Yeah, that's it. Always
3,500.
Yeah. Anywhere I go, they're all there to see me. But it was fantastic. You know, great cruise, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
It was pretty much because we did. We had a stag do before we went, didn't we? But we had, which we have definitely already discussed. But we had a little mini stag do on there, didn't we? Then we had the wedding, and then pretty much the final, the rest of the holiday, which was pretty much 10 days, was pretty much the honeymoon with all you guys with us.
We all enjoyed your honeymoon.
It was brilliant. It was great. And we got upgraded to a suite, didn't we?
You did.
£25,000.
You said
suite.
We were.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Because you went, come and you were like doing guided tours of your room.
Yeah. It's certainly the most expensive wedding I've been to.
I know. Bless you. But it was amazing. Yeah, it was great. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then Kirk, yours was a lovely winter wedding, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we got married at Wortley Hall. Really nice. We originally booked a venue in Scarborough. Went to see a venue, which was nice, lovely in Scarborough. But obviously, because of what I do for a living with hospitality and hotels and everything, I wanted it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted it my way. And I definitely took control of our wedding.
Yeah.
And Daisy was quite happy to let me do that. Obviously, she did a dress thing and, you know, she looked after the bridesmaid dresses and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the actual wedding day, that was mine. Stand back. You know, I've seen enough of these. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. And I also knew what Daisy would enjoy. And that's not me being big-headed. I just knew.
Yeah.
So we originally booked a venue in Scarborough. And I remember sitting down with a woman. And I said to her, look, this is what I do for a living. I'm not going to sit here and say I know best or whatever, but I've got a very specific picture in my head of what we want. So all I ask is let's have an open dialogue of what can be done, what can't be done. Just do me a favour, don't lie to me. Because I'll know, you know, just let's be honest and stuff like that. She's like, yeah, absolutely. And she gave me all this, not a problem at all. You know, it'll be a pleasure working with you, and it was fine. And we walked away. I told her pretty much what a rough thing of what I wanted. I think, that's not a problem at all. Brilliant, fine. Paid the deposit, walked away, done. Fast forward a few weeks or whatever, started talking to her, and all of a sudden it were, thing is, with your hog roast, you want a hog roast? That's what I said, we're going to get a hog roast. We're not licensed for a hog roast. So I'm like, right, you don't have to be licensed for a hog roast. We're going to get it external. The person comes with a license. Yeah. Oh, no, that's not how food safety laws work. Right, like I said to you from the beginning, right, if you don't want us to have a hog roast, then just say that and we'll talk about it. Don't make things up. Yeah. Don't make things up. Oh, yeah, but the thing is what we can do pork sandwiches. Right, fine. But
Billy Bear.
By this point, I'm already annoyed because she's already lied to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I've already said... So anyway, long story short, we cancelled it, walked away from it, lost the deposit. Because
You can't possibly further invest in that, can you?
No. And you know, people are like, oh, my God, you've walked away from it. I didn't care. Came
to your wedding meal and it was Haribo.
So anyway, we fell in love with Wortley Hall, went to look in Wortley Hall. But I think um, I I don't think there'll be many grooms. I'm not saying any. I don't think there'll be many grooms that went to the final details meeting on their own.
No,
I went without Daisy, and literally sat there with the final details meeting. They were lovely at Wortley Hall. Massive shout out that they were absolutely brilliant, and they loved the fact. They did love the fact that I just wanted to do things a bit different, and the fact. Daisy, the only thing Daisy was really adamant were, because we were getting married in between Christmas and New Year, she didn't want it to be a Christmas wedding.
Yeah.
So, and the only thing she said is she'd liked it to have been a winter themed, but not Christmas. So obviously I'm sat there, the final details, and I'm like, look, no Christmas trees. She's like, yeah, not a problem at all. And I'm like, look, arrival drink, I want liqueur coffees. So instead of like a Buck's Fizz or anything like that, I want someone to be able to go up, coffees, proper liqueur coffees, people to be able to pick Baileys, you know, whiskey, brandy, you know, and then I want this for a buffet, and then I want hog roast and then pie and peas, as we've already discussed before tonight. And everything that I wanted, everything that I said, just wasn't an issue. And do you know what? It was impeccable. The service, everything that they delivered was impeccable, everything that I wanted. And then really, you know, hats off to Daisy's dad and brother, because they put so much work into the room to make it like a winter wonderland.
Yeah,
you know, you all saw it, do you know what I mean? Because you were all invited to mine. It was amazing. And when Daisy walked into that room, that was the first time she'd seen it. It was the first time she'd seen the room, the first time she'd seen the idea of the room, anything about it. And you even look on the video that you made, Rob, which is fantastic.
How long did it take him to... you've only just seen it, you only came out.
Waiting for part two.
It didn't actually take that long.
The only mistake Kirk made was asking me to do the sound for his wedding. So, and I was demanding that we had rehearsals.
Yeah,
because I wanted to time the music for so timings. That it was perfect.
I think it was a very nice wedding, but I was very, very controlling over it. Very controlling of it. Mm. But in all fairness, though, that was a bit like you, though, wasn't it, Mark? You planned most of yours, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. The big stipulation for me was that we couldn't have a DJ, because I couldn't have a DJ. I didn't want to have a DJ because... obviously my background.
That's why I've no work for people like Mark going, yeah. I want a DJ, so I'm skinned.
I won't be able to cope. I'd have so many prerequisites as to what I want, what I didn't want. And that's not what a DJ is for. So we booked a band that, in fact, actually, Kirk, it was a gig that I did for you in Doncaster. And the band, they were called the Funtime Frankies. I don't know if you remember them.
The nightclub in Mood.
I think they're from Liverpool or somewhere like that. And they did all sort of rock and indie covers.
Yeah.
But they were particularly good at Mr. Brightside by The Killers. Really good. And it stuck in my head, and I was like, I need to find that. And I couldn't remember the name of a band, so trying to find the name of a band that's not famous as such, with nothing to go off, it took me months and months and months to find them. Yeah. And then I managed to find them and got them. But yeah, it was a lovely August wedding, red hot, wasn't it?
You were. Lovely weather.
Couldn't have wished for better, really. It was lovely. Ellen's uncle, well, we had a duo in the afternoon playing jazz stuff on a keyboard and guitar, and then Ellen's uncle had a go on doing a bit of jazz. So it was just really, really nice, really family, friends, you know, everything that we wanted, really, for our wedding day. So yeah,
I think that was the only sticking point for me with ours, was the fact that we couldn't have a videographer because they didn't have videographers on board.
Right.
And if they had, they would have charged thousands.
Oh, could you imagine?
So I said, sod it, I'll do it myself.
Mm.
So I filmed my own wedding
and
bought a GoPro, bought a stabiliser, taught my dad how to do it.
Yeah.
I had literally days with my dad training him how to use his camera, how to move with the camera.
I could just see beads of sweat pouring off him while you're going for it on his lap.
Oh my God.
Kurt were in charge of moving cameras around that day, and people filming bits. I filmed bits myself and then made a video. A good video, weren't
it? A very good video.
It's an amazing. I have seen the video, actually.
Yeah, three parts.
I was invited to Night Do when you came back.
Yeah,
I remember that.
The Night Do was actually really good.
I was absolutely overwhelmed.
Is your video on YouTube? I don't think
it's still on there.
Is it still on there, so people can go and see it?
It the party when we got back for extended family and friends to come to, we hired out the Holiday Inn, didn't we? And we basically made it out as though it was a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So I had all those banners made with the welcome to the room, and it was like when your ticket to come was your boarding pass. And then you came in there, photographs with us on the entrance. And then we had hired a casino. We had a singer. Mark, you DJed and you were the captain. Made the announcements as the captain. And we had the screen with the view from the bridge, didn't we, and stuff.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was good, that. It was a great night. Right then, shall we do it?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Come on. He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So nothing from last week then, so we're just ready to spin the wheel.
Spin it
away.
Ooh, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be?
What is it?
Yay!
Hey, it's me, Mark.
Dead or Alive!
Dead or Alive?
Yay!
Hey. I'm alive.
I'm already dead.
Come alive.
Be quick, I'll be dead.
Right, so it's Dead or Alive. So, do you know how to play it all? Or shall I explain for the listeners?
Remind the listeners.
So I'm going to read out some famous names, or famous to most people, and you guys have got to decide if they're still alive or if they're dead.
Right.
Simple as that.
Or if they're dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Live or dead.
Let's go.
Are you ready then?
I'm ready. So first one.
Let's do the first one for you then.
And we're writing these down, aren't we?
Yeah, you're writing them down.
Oh, writing them down.
And then I can mark them.
Give me... I'll only delete it.
Change your mind halfway through.
Right.
Go on then, Mark.
Right, so the first one then.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Have you got your pencil?
Oh, he's got a toy tam phone. Just keep, let him find where his notes is.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Text.
Yeah.
No dead cheating, by the way. I don't want you googling the name.
Alive.
Are you doing?
Right, question number one.
Yeah, well, it's not a question really.
Question number one.
Number one.
Well, it is.
Well, I suppose.
Number one.
Question number one. Mel Brooks, the actor.
Mel Brooks.
Who were in Blazing Saddles, remember?
I'm glad you said that, because I weren't really sure who you were talking about. Not that I'm any wiser.
All got an answer?
Done. Yeah. Next.
Next one, then. Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Yeah.
You do realise it's cold this time of year, don't you?
Yeah.
Some of these could change as this goes out.
They could well do. We'll have to, Kurt, you'll have to edit it if these die or not.
Right.
Tony Curtis.
Ooh.
The actor.
Ooh. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
How many have I done there? Three.
Three.
Question number four.
Number four, please.
Question number four. Glenda Jackson, the actress.
Glenda Jackson.
What was she in?
Those films. Weren't she in EastEnders at some point? I don't know.
Okay.
Was she in Harry Potter?
Maybe.
And
question
number five.
And we'll go for
question number five.
I've got some names here.
Question number five.
Robert Wagner.
Wagner.
I mean, you've come out with some names this time, mate. I don't even know where half of these are.
You know his face.
He was in, I think he was in Heart to Heart in the 80s. It was like
I think you'd know his face, I do.
Have you heard of his name? Have you heard of his name?
Not really.
No, not
I'll
really.
I'll make a guess.
All right, so we've got him.
Yeah. So you got him.
I'm changing my last one.
Oh.
Because when you first said it, when you said it was an 80s thing, I was thinking of him who got shot in Dallas. But that's not Robert Wagner, is it?
No, Hangman. Joe played Jake.
Why are you asking questions?
In the play J.K. Rowling in Dallas.
Come on, give us answers, Mark.
Right, okay, what first one? What I gave you?
You should know. I don't know.
Question number one.
Yeah. What first name?
Question number one.
It was Mel Brooks. Number one.
Oh, Mel Brooks. Right. Yeah. So what have you got?
I've gone dead.
Dead.
You've all gone for dead.
Yeah. Yes.
He's still alive.
Oh. He's 162.
Oh, you're not far off. He's 98.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, that's that one wrong. Yeah.
What was the next one I gave you?
I don't know. We don't write them down. We
Clint
just write
Eastwood.
The answers.
Oh, well done.
So I've got a whole list of them, you see. So Clint Eastwood.
He's alive.
Alive.
Yeah. Okay. And so how old do you think he is?
97.
Oh,
I guess I said
I was going to say 96.
Yeah. 90. Oh, that's a 95.
98. Last answer. 98. My last answer.
I'm lower. What are we going?
95.
98.
He's 94.
Oh, we're closest. But I got it right, actually.
What was the next one I gave you?
Tony Curtis.
Oh, well done. Well done. Well, you wrote these down?
I wrote my answers down, and that's what I'm basing it on. Because I think Tony Curtis died quite a while ago.
So, Tony Curtis then. So, you're saying dead, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying dead.
Dead. He is dead?
Yes.
Do you know what year he died and how old he was?
I'd say 2014, and I think he was 92.
I'm going to say 1997, wow. And he would have been, I don't know, 48.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 2019, and he was 86.
Well, he died in 2010, and he was 85.
Oh.
I was close.
I couldn't have been any more wrong, could I?
And what's the next one, Glenda Jackson?
Yes.
Right, Glenda Jackson then.
Is alive.
Alive, okay.
Alive.
Dead.
You're right, Kirk. She's dead.
Is she? Yeah. When did she die?
What year did Kirk?
2023.
She did die in 2023. And yep. how old was she when she died?
89.
No. Is it as close as that?
87.
Oh. Is it?
Wow. Well, she's like, is your Glenda Jackson?
Yeah, she's dead.
Far off.
Wow.
Kirk's a Glenda Jackson fan.
So you go.
Old Cruella.
You know what, anyone with a second name of Jackson?
I know, I thought we were going to say that.
And there you go, and that's your dead or alive.
What about last one?
Yeah, last one.
last one.
Question number five.
Is it? I thought that was... Is it another
this
one?
This feature's dead.
Is it another one?
Yes.
There is. Yeah.
What name did I give?
Robert Wagner.
Oh, Robert Wagner. Oh, okay, yeah. And go on, you tell me what you said.
I wrote dead initially, and then when I found out he weren't in Dallas, I've put alive.
I've got him as dead.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
And how old do you think he is?
Is he the guy at the coffee advert then?
Coffee advert? Well, are you thinking of... what's his face? Grey hair. Who in Ocean's 11?
Oh, gosh.
George Clooney?
Well, no. He said coffee advert.
No, let me get his thing up, isn't
it? Oh, you mean him in Little Britain?
Coffee advert man. Oh, I'm thinking of Anthony Head.
Yeah, not a yeah. I'm in a little bit.
Anyway,
no.
I got 4 out of 5 there.
Well, I got 2.
Hang on, I've not told you. Robert Wagner. Yeah, what did I say?
You already said he's alive.
Yeah, alive. But how old is he?
Oh,
because his listeners all.
I don't even
know
who he is.
I'd say 81.
He's 94.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I reckon he's
94. Sorry, Mark.
That's what I like about your features. They're so smooth and well written.
You mean unlike all the others?
How many did you get right, Mark?
I think I got 2, I think.
Yeah, I got 2. Well done, Kirk. You won this week.
Yeah, I smashed that one, didn't
you
I?
You did.
Yeah.
Right, it's been a pleasure, boys.
See you next week.
See you
later.
Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.